My guest is Dr. Randy Padower, a consumer education specialist. He has worked on behalf of what's called the Lexington Law Firm's Consumer Advocacy Initiative for more than a decade, a clinical psychologist whose research interests include consumer behavior and personality testing. Randy's work has been featured in the Journal of Personality Assessment, the Journal of Consulting and Clinical Psychology, and Smart Money Magazine. He co-authored the best-selling FICO 850 seminar for the Motley Fool. And he'll explain. Well, Randy, what is the Motley Fool? Nice to have you on the program here.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me. Well, the Motley Fool is a financial publishing firm. They have an online presence, and they publish books. They do investment consulting and so on. They've been around for many years, and probably some of your listeners have frequented their sites.
Absolutely. Anything but foolish, I should say.
They use that. Foolishness is a good thing there.
Well, of the more than 40 million graduates in the United States, they collectively owe about $1.2 trillion in debt. And of that number, Randy, 17%, almost 20% of those borrowers are behind on their payments or are in default on their student debt. What does this mean?
That's right, and your statistic is right. In fact, 17% are in default, which means that they've decided to abandon their loans, and that loan has gone into a charged-off status and then into collections. You know, the sad thing is that people often believe that student loans are free money. You know, often people begin to take out student loans when they're young. And they're not really familiar with, you know, what it's going to take to manage their debts. And sometimes when you're a student, especially an undergrad, it may seem that, repayment is something that full-on post-grad adults do. And the adulto lessons, if you will, that goes along with being a young student just sometimes doesn't include thinking about personal responsibility. So what happens is sometimes people get overextended with their student loans and they forget that really a student loan is just an opportunity to pay back borrowed money later. And as a result, they get behind and sometimes they find themselves drowning in that and credit card debt, for that matter.
What happens to them? What are we talking about, Randy? What happens to people that have student loan debt, unable to pay it, either unwilling or unable? What eventually happens to them?
You know, there's a lot of information and misinformation out there. On the one hand, failing to repay student loans will ruin your credit for up to 7 years. Sometimes it can cause worse problems, like the need to resolve these issues through bankruptcy, which can cause credit reporting problems for up to 10 years and other kinds of problems for many years after that.
Okay.
So that's information.
Okay.
Misinformation
so hold on. Just hold the misinformation.
Yeah.
Let me pay the bill here. Look, it's not good, folks, is what we're talking about. Let's find out what the misinformation is when we come back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. We're talking about managing student debt. This is Radio America. I'm Paul Barry. We're talking with Randy Padower, consumer education specialist, and we're talking about managing student debt. The chances are that not only is your student, your young adult graduate, very happy about all of that, he's done, but he's got a burden. And I think the average is somewhere between $18,000 and $30,000. And chances are, folks, is that you're on the line as well because you probably co-signed in order for them to get the money in the first place. So not only is your child affected, you're a young adult, but you're affected. And there's lots of mismanagement information out there. Randy knows some of that. Randy, go ahead. Tell us what are some of the misinformation.
Okay. Well, so we talked about the information. I tell you what, before I mention a misinformation, I'm going to say a couple of more penalties. Not only can loans, defaulted loans, be turned over to collections, but you can be sued for the amount of your loan. wages can be garnished. Federal and state income tax refunds can be intercepted. Even Social Security benefits can be withheld by the federal government. So, and there are other things. You could be prohibited from enlisting in the armed forces, and certain professional licenses. There are certain state bars. If you're a lawyer, you may not be able to renew certain professional accreditations in some cases if you've defaulted on a student loan. Here's misinformation. There hasn't been debtor's prison in the Americas for a few hundred years. So you can't – you're not going to go to jail. You're not going to incur some criminal penalty. But there are many civil penalties that I described.
Right.
That can happen. One other thing, you know, you had mentioned about co-signing and parents co-signing. There are a couple of different kinds of student loans, right? There are the federal direct loans. Those don't require a co-signer, and they don't require a credit check. Those can be – those are provided to students directly, okay? Then there are PLUS loans that parents can receive for their kids, for their young adult students. Those aren't co-signed either. Those are loans directly to the parents. And for those, parents need to be aware that, you know, if they're expecting their kids to repay those, if the kids don't, and you've got a PLUS loan as opposed to a Stafford or a Perkins loan, the direct loans I mentioned before, the child isn't going to pay a penalty, only the parent. Finally, and I'll just say this quickly because I know we have the third type of loan that can require a co-signer are these private student loans. Totally not recommended. A private bank that's proffering a student loan, they're not regulated with regard to interest rates. Be careful. Make sure that you're getting a direct student loan, or if you're a parent, a PLUS loan. Stay away from some of these private student loans. Talk to your loan officer at your kid's university.
And folks, I witness. I'm guilty of a private loan in one instance, and the cost was tremendous. And you can't ignore that because it does impact your credit, and you can't just wipe them away because you want to. Even through bankruptcy, some of these are not wiped away.
That's right, and a lot of people don't know that. So you nailed it, Paul. Almost, let's just say, very few student loans can be discharged through bankruptcy. There is a proceeding. It's arduous, undue hardship. You have to demonstrate incredible disability with no hope for recovery.
Right.
The line is very tight for that.
What about combining? Well, I'll tell you what. Let me stop for just a moment because I want you to talk to me about this common debt consolidation. I think that may not be the way to go, but let's talk about it because some of the young people I've talked to say that's what we're going to do. We're going to combine all of this, and I want to find out from Randy Padua what he thinks that's a good idea. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. My guest is Randy Padua, and Randy is a specialist, folks, in this business of managing your student loan. He's a consumer education specialist. He comes well prepared to talk to you, and I'm not trying to scare you. If I scare you to anything, I want to scare you to not just ignore the fact that you have a loan out there. And it has to be handled. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt, and you could be badly hurt financially, and it can hurt you for a long time. So you've got to do something about it. Now, what is that something? How about consolidation, Randy? How about I consolidate all my loans into one big package? Does that work?
Well, it can. And just to back up from that, and before we talk about consolidation, to the elements of what would be consolidated, you know, there we talked about direct loans. Federal direct loans, that is Stafford and Perkins, and, you know, as opposed to the private loans.
Right.
But even within the federal direct loans, there are a couple of different types. They're subsidized and unsubsidized. And people sometimes confuse them. The only thing subsidized is the interest. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Interest that will accrue while you're a student or during the six-month grace period before you have to start repaying after graduation. With subsidized student loans, interest doesn't start when the loan is disbursed. It starts 6 months after you're not a student anymore. That's really important because, if you're in school for 4 years and, have a $20,000 worth of loans, even with an 8.5% interest rate, which is pretty typical and good, you can have thousands of dollars of interest rack up before you're even finished being a student.
Right.
So suddenly, yeah. So first of all, take care of that. Students are eligible to borrow up to $23,000 of subsidized loans and up to $56,000 or so, $56,500 aggregate when you add on unsubsidized loans. So only borrow what you need to so that when you're talking about consolidation later, you haven't dug a bigger hole for yourself than you need to. A lot of people go to grad school now, and so sometimes it's more than 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
It can be, 8, 9, 10 years, depending upon your professional degree.
Sure.
A lot of money can be
you got to think about that. You got to think about it.
So
you mentioned the military, and I just want to make sure that my military members who families who have who either in the military or have families who are involved, are they in any more? Is it more critical for our military members who have outstanding loans than say those in the private sector?
Yeah, military service people do enjoy some protections under a federal statute called the Service Members Civil Relief Act. And that, if for our military folks who are listening, if you're not familiar with that, please do an internet search because it provides, if you're on active military duty, for example, regular credit card companies have some restrictions about how they're billing you. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they can't bill you until you return. Student loans, for student loans, interest can be capped at 6% rather than 8.5% or higher. You have to actively exercise that, though, and so you're going to want to have a family member or a trusted person help you leverage those rights when you're on military duty. And in terms of consolidation, then, just keep in mind that once interest starts accruing, consolidated loans may have a longer period of repayment.
Randy, I have to wish you happy holidays. I've got to go. Thank you for making this more explainable. Come back and talk to us again, would you please?
Would love to.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Randy Padua, my guest. Coming up next, Lizzie Post and the etiquette of fighting the flu.